Monday, April 15th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 5 o'clock. You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM here in Portland. And we are in the midst of our spring membership drive, so call that number 877-500-5266 while you are listening to the KBOO Evening News, which is next. And this programming is brought to you in part, KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from the Oregon Symphony's Concert for the Community, Saturday, April 13th, celebrating music of the Americas with music of North, Central, and South America, featuring performance by Hillsborough's Mariachi Una Voz. More information at orsymphony.org. The evening news is next.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, the city introduces new rules for tenant application screenings.
Advocates from the Oregon Food Banks gather in Salem to raise awareness about food insecurity in the state.
And stay tuned for a special interview with local comedian Belinda Carroll, co-founder of the Portland Queer Comedy Festival.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, April 12th, 2019. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Jenny Okuyama.
And I'm Michelle Coppola reporting. Two new rules aimed at standardizing the rental application process are currently before the Portland City Council. Current law allows individual landlords to set their own rules regarding the amount of security deposit, as well as tenant screening criteria such as bad credit, criminal records, and other perceived risk factors. The problem, according to backers of the new rules, is that perceived risk factors are irrationally correlated with perceived race. The first proposed ordinance would limit the amount of security deposit to 1 month's rent. The second, more controversial ordinance, gives landlords two screening options: either use City Hall's easy application form or be prepared to defend their screening process as non-discriminatory. These new rules are part of a larger tenant rights effort from Commissioner Udaly's office. Udaly is a renter herself and ran for office on a housing advocacy platform. City Council is expected to vote on the proposals next week.
In December of 2016, Portland City Council passed the Open and Accountable Elections Ordinance. This mandates that political candidates who follow new rules, including for swearing big corporate cash, shall be matched 6-1 from the city's Open and Accountable Elections Fund. The ordinance aims to reduce the influence of money in Portland politics and takes effect with the 2020 elections. KBOO's Joe Meyer gives us an audio update.
The 2020 election season officially started last December, and this time Portland hopefuls may have a working chance. Just over 3 years ago, retiring Commissioner Amanda Fritz successfully championed the Open and Accountable Elections Ordinance through City Council. The nuts and bolts of these new rules are being assembled now. Here are some audio outtakes from yesterday's City Hall work session. We start with Volunteer Commission member Soren Bussell.
Next up on the commission's to-do list is to elect a chair and vice chair and also provide final recommendations on the full set of rules once feedback from the public and other interested stakeholders is received. And we'll make recommendations on any possible amendments to the code prior to the first election cycle fully ramping up. As you've heard, we have had to get up to speed rather quickly in making recommendations on the program implementation. The program was given a little bit of a short time frame to get implemented. However, as also has been noted, the commission is very highly functioning. The staff is just exceptional and outstanding, and I could not give more kudos to the city staff. We're exceptionally lucky to be able to work with them, and we're making strong progress because of that. And we're also very supportive of the program and excited excited about what the work that it's going to be doing. One of the first things that came out of our initial meetings as a commission was that we're really excited and thrilled to be seeing a more geographically, racially, economically diverse city council, city lawmakers. This is so enlivening and exciting, and we really want to thank you for your leadership and your support for being a model as the city of Portland to show the rest of the state and the country really what we can do. I think to flip institutions that have seen institutional racism and systematic racism, we have to have public funding of elections, and this is so critical and important, and really thank you for your efforts on this. So.
Portland City Commissioner Joanne Hardesty added this.
If I may, I just want to take this opportunity. In preparing for today, I realized it is over 3 years ago that Commissioner Amanda Fritz had this crazy idea that we could actually put a public finance system in place that could come out of city council, no less, and the community would embrace it. The community would advocate for, the community would work hard to see it come to life. And I just want to applaud Commissioner Amanda Fritz for all the hard work it took to get us to where we are today.
Finally, here's Susan Mote, the director of Portland's Open and Accountable Elections.
Another implementation milestone is that we have been holding trainings all over this community starting last December to educate anyone who might run for office in 2020 or might help someone run for office in 2020 on the program rules. Starting on December 1 of last year, that was the first day of the election cycle, which means that certain rules about how you can raise money and how you can handle money in particular, you know, came into effect. So if someone wants to participate in this program later this year or next year, we'll be doing a look back to see if they were in compliance with those rules since December 21, or if they've made a mistake that's curable, whether they've cured that mistake. So in addition to holding trainings, and we're continuing to hold trainings, and do look at our program website's calendar for announcements of additional trainings, we also wrote a memo, and that's also on the program website, which is portlandoregon.gov/OAE. And the memo outlines all of the rules a person needs to know about. Not only did we put that on the website, but we also just sent it out to as many places and people that we could think of that deal with people who run for office or might be running for office. On top of that, if anyone has any questions, if they're thinking of running for office, if anyone has any questions about how to comply with program rules or about the program, you know, Anna and I are always available to answer any of those questions, and our contact information can also be found on the program website.
Those were voices from yesterday's City Hall work session on open and accountable elections. New rules to limit the influence of cash in Portland elections go into effect with the 2020 election. If you want to run for office or help in building out the implementation rules, see Portland's Open and Accountable Elections website at portlandoregon.gov/OAE. And this is Joe Meyer with KBOO News.
Advocates for Oregon food banks are in Salem today to bring attention to hunger in the state. Nearly 600,000 Oregonians are food insecure. KBOO's Jonelle, in collaboration with the Oregon News Service, has more.
Hunger relief advocates are gathering in Salem today to urge lawmakers to root out hunger in Oregon. Hundreds of folks from food banks across the state are expected to travel to the Capitol for Hunger Response Day. Philip Kennedy Wong with Oregon Food Bank says that the issue of hunger often is overlooked, especially as the economy has improved since the recession. However, his network still is distributing more food than it did during the recession. He says between 2007 and 2010, the network distributed more than 60 million pounds annually of food statewide, and now that number is up to roughly 95 million pounds.
That is despite the fact we have low unemployment and the food insecurity numbers have declined, but it just tells us that there's still a segment of Oregon that was left behind. They never left the Great Recession. For them, the Great Recession still continues to this day.
Kennedy Wong says nearly 600,000 Oregonians are food insecure or unsure where their next meal is coming from. He believes decision makers in Salem should recognize that this is a public health epidemic. Audrey Smith with Community Connection of Northeast Oregon is in Salem today and wants state lawmakers to invest in the Double Up Food Bucks program, which matches Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, dollars spent on fruits and vegetables at participating farmers market, up to $10. She says the program has been successful at promoting healthy eating.
Over 90% of the people that use that program reported that they're buying more fruits and vegetables because of the Double Up Food Bucks program.
Kennedy Wong says the Double Up Food Bucks program also could be used to support rural grocery stores where communities suffer most from food insecurity, and keeping an inventory of fresh produce can be tricky.
You don't have quite the density of customers, and the fact that produce has to travel to those venues, their shelf life is not as long. But if there is a market for that, that we can help to create with their participation in SNAP Double Up Bucks program, then we want to do that.
House Bill 2837 and its Senate companion would invest $3 million in the program, which ran a successful pilot from 2015 to 2018. And allow it to be piloted in up to 8 grocery stores in underserved communities. For the Oregon News Service and KBOO Radio, I'm Janelle.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now we're asking you to do the same. Joining us now is Ani. Ani, how you doing over there?
Oh, you know, Jenna, this is a great day here at KBOO Community Radio because it is, in fact, our News and Public Affairs Day special. This is something that we do twice a year, really bringing out the best of the public affairs interviews with all manner of information coming your way that is relevant to your life. And now we are into the evening news. And the evening news is just an amazing program. It is a news program produced by volunteers because they are passionate about their community and they want the truth out there. They want information to be shared so people can live informed lives and take right action. And that right action now is actually becoming a member of KBOO Community Radio and adding your strength into the mix of other community members, calling 877-500-5266. We are looking to raise about $400 for the evening newscast, and right now it can be done with your support. Please do get the phone ringing at 877-500-5266 and contribute, you know, in a sustaining monthly kind of way. It's a great way to give a significant amount of money in tiny bite-sized pieces. And if you can right now, just think about giving $60, right? That's $5 a month. You can start a sustaining membership at $5 a month and know that that support keeps coming in all year, every month. And that is a wonderful way to support KBOO because $5 is something that almost everyone listening right now can afford to contribute to strengthen their independent media resource that is KBOO. We are your community radio station. So please do make us your own and call 877-500-5266. You can also contribute online and become a member by clicking over at kboo.fm, and you can become a member just that way. It just takes a few minutes of your time, and you know that you will be doing something that is tangible right action. You will be able to feel better about tuning on the radio for the rest of the day, and in fact, the rest of the year, knowing that you are doing your part to keep the signal going. And everyone contributing at a $60 level or more, you can request a copy of Street Journalist, Understand and Report the News in Your Community. It is a wonderful handbook in street journalism. Everyone can be a part of the movement to get the information out there. And this is actually written by Lisa Loving, KBOO's PM News Director. And yeah, she wrote the book on street journalism. What can I say? We have volunteers coming in, learning to become journalists. We have the tools that people can use here. And all of this is paid for with your contributions. The equipment is maintained, the transmitter is consistent, and the light bills are paid because you, our listeners, fund us. 80% of our operating budget comes from you, our listeners. It keeps us truly committed to the grassroots support. And I want to thank Kim for coming in today in person and renewing his membership. Thank you so much, Kim Entigard, coming into the studio. Always good to see you. And maybe you are on your way home, or maybe you're on your way to work. Stop on by. Stop in to KBOO 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, and you can get a tour of the station and see how your money is put to use in service to the communities. Please do, however you can do it, just contact us now, whether you come in person or you go online at kboo.fm, or call us at 877-500-5266, and know again that you are doing the right thing. You are saying yes to your community radio station, supporting all the volunteers that come in and bring you the evening news 5 days a week. It's a phenomenal effort. Not very many community stations actually produce an hour-long newscast on volunteers. We are one of the extremely few. And again, we do that because we are fortunate enough to have such committed volunteers coming in and making it happen every day. And the training, again, is free and accessible to everyone that is passionate and wants to share information with the community, and it is funded by your support. Please close that gap right now and call in as a sustaining member at 877-500-5266. And we would love to thank you with a copy of Street Journalist, Understand and Report the News in Your Community. It's a great book. It's kind of jam-packed with easy steps to follow, and you too can know that you can be a journalist, right? It is taking things from the hands of experts and actually taking our lives into our own hands, knowing that we are responsible for the health and well-being of our communities, because there's no one that's going to do it for us like we do it for ourselves. So right now is your time to really, again, add your strength to the rest of the community members here at KBOO. Make us stronger together. It is an important action, and it is a simply easy thing to do this afternoon, but a very meaningful thing to do here on our News and Public Affairs Day. So please do call right now, 877-500-5266. Go online at kboo.fm, or come on in to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Just contact us, connect with us, reach out, and belong here at KBOO. Again, that number, 877-500-5266.
You're listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Counterspin next at 5:30. Then at 6, it's Rising Up with Sonali. Then at 7, it's The Struggle with Alyssa Pariah. Tonight's weather will have early showers, then a cloudy night with a low of 44. Winds will be light and variable with a chance of rain around 30%. And tomorrow will be rainy again with a projected rainfall of a quarter inch. The evening will be chilly with a low of near 40 degrees. Winds southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour with a 60% chance of rain. Today in history, in 1945, President Roosevelt died and Harry S. Truman became the president. And in 1984, Harold Washington was elected as Chicago's first black mayor. The quote of the day is from Woody Guthrie, who said, "I know the police caused you trouble. They caused trouble everywhere. But when you die and go to heaven, you find no policeman there."
You're listening listening to the KBOO Evening News. Tonight we have a special guest, comedian and activist Belinda Carroll. She's here at KBOO to talk to us about the Portland Queer Comedy Festival coming up in July. Thanks for being here, Belinda.
Yeah, no problem. Excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm very excited because I have to tell you, I'm like this massive groupie for stand-up comedians. I just love...
We love that. No, that's great. We live for that, in fact, like literally. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the Portland Queer Comedy Festival. How many years has this been going on?
This is our third year.
A third year?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it like the Bridgetown Comedy Fest where it's at different venues all around town? Mm-hmm. Okay. And what are the venues?
And so, so we're in five venues this year. Very excited about this year. So we've got... Funhouse is our main venue, which is on 11th
place.
Division. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
And so that's my co-producer is Andy Barrett, who owns the Funhouse. And then we use Ford Food and Drink, Crush Bar. We're adding Rogue Brewery this year on 9th and Belmont. And then we use Curious Comedy Theater.
Wonderful. All right. Now, I know you are very excited about the lineup. Tell me the dates of the festival and then tell me about your lineup.
Okay. Well, this is the thing. The dates were supposed to be July 18th through the 21st, 2019. And they will still be July 18th to the 21st, 2019. But we have a special headliner that's going to be doing a special Wednesday show at Curious Comedy Theater. There will be two shows. So just get prepared for this. If you're a comedy fan, and especially a comedy fan in the mid to late 90s and early 90s, then you will recognize the person I'm about to bring up. So Wednesday night, we will be doing a special show with Scott Thompson, Ooh. Who is from Kids in the Hall. Mm-hmm. Do you know Kids in the Hall?
Yeah, I know. Kids in the Hall, yeah.
I'm
a 90s kid a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're a 90s kid, then you know Kids in the Hall for sure. And so I have Scott Thompson coming. We're doing a special night with Buddy Cole, and that'll be Wednesday at Curious Comedy Theater. And there'll be two shows, which we will get into. So check Facebook, go to PortlandQueerComedyFestival.com. We'll have all of the information. But we also have Nico Santos, who is currently on NBC's Superstore. He plays Mateo.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's also in Crazy Rich Asians. And so he's being amazing and coming too. And we have Erin Foley, who's been on Conan a bunch of times. And she has a popular podcast called Sports Without Balls. Yeah. And Jen Kober, who's an amazing comic out of Louisiana. She's in LA now, but she's originally from Louisiana. And she was just picked for an NPR Storytelling Award. So she's so funny. She's just made me cry with laughter. So our lineup's amazing. And then we'll have 45 other comics.
Locally and regional comedians coming out for this as well.
Yeah. So we'll have a lot of local comics. Dylan Carlino, Chris Ettrick, my co-producer Janet Vesper, D. Martin Austin. So we'll have a lot of local comics, but then we'll also have comics from all over the world. We'll have comics from Toronto, from London, from wherever.
So if you buy a ticket for a show, you're probably going to get to see multiple comedians. It's not just the one headliner, correct? Or
So there'll be 50 shows over the 5 days.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so there's shows going on simultaneously in all of the venues, and so the festival kick off Wednesday now with Scott, and then Thursday we'll go into our multi-venue situation, and so you'll be able to see all of the acts that you would ever want to see. There's a festival pass. And so the festival pass is for 4 days. That's going to be $65. But
Very reasonable.
It's very reasonable.
Very reasonable.
So I try to make it, for me, like I'm from Portland, like I'm a native. And so I grew up here when the queer community was a lot different. I'm an activist too. People didn't come through Portland, like acts and stuff. You remember this because you're from here.
Yeah.
Acts didn't come through, and especially like LGBTQ people definitely didn't come through, like big acts, you know, besides Suzanne Westenhofer. Let's give her a round of applause.
Yay.
I love Suzanne. So now being able to bring this to Portland is really important to me, but it's also really important for me for people to be able to afford to go, which is one of the reasons why we made the pass so affordable. And then on top of that, we also have things that you can check for the website. We have a youth pass for shows that start before 10 o'clock.
Oh, great.
So people under 21 can come. And that's super cheap. It's like $10. It's just because I was a queer kid in Portland.
Need to hear these voices. They really need to hear these
you
voices.
You do. And that's the thing is that, like, when you're, especially as a youth, like you're growing up and you're trying to find out all the information, and it's it's, you know, you have the internet, and so you have, you know, an extra layer of knowledge available to you. But as a queer kid, when I was growing up, just having the ability to listen to other queer people talk about their lives is so important, and how what their lives look like and what you can build your life to be.
Well, you know, you mentioned a little bit ago that, you know, back in the day, comedians and bigger stars in the comedy world really didn't come through here mm-hmm. as often. But it seems like in the past, I don't know, maybe decade or 20 years or so, Portland's and the Northwest has kind of become a little bit of a hotbed for comedy. Is that,
yes.
you know, I'm really, I mean, when I moved here, I actually moved to the
Thanks
Portland
to Bridgetown.
Area.
Thank you, Bridgetown.
Yeah, very much. You know, when I moved here some 15 years ago or so, uh-huh. you know, there wasn't a lot, but it seems like it's really taken off. And a lot of really important comedians are from here. A lot of people make the trip mm-hmm. to come up here because it is such a receptive audience. What do you think makes this area and this region so fecund for comedy?
I think that it's rainy and there's not a lot to do to be sad about
I
stuff.
I knew you were going to say
that. So I think
it's go to the movies or check out comedy, right? Or, you know,
yeah, program. Right. Yeah. I've been in my house for 9 months. What can I do? So I think that is part of it. I think that we have a kind of a marriage of a few things. One is the weather, of course. The other thing is that we tend to be a lot more educated in this part of the country than other parts of the country. We have more people with
advanced
degrees and
yeah.
things like that. And so I think we have a lot of educated people, and I think we have a lot of educated people that are underemployed. And so I do, you know? And so I think that we have a lot of people that have a lot of brain power and a lot of time on their hands that aren't putting it toward other things. And what are you going to do, you
Just
know?
Just come right out
it's
and
like,
say it, man.
It's like comedy or slam poetry. Like, that was the only two choices.
We're like slacker hipster heaven. Okay, I get it. I get
exactly,
it.
Exactly. So I got to buy skinny pants and I got to do burlesque. That's it. That's all you can do.
And I
got
to put on a knit cap.
Or comedy, yeah. But in all actuality, we have, you know, Ian Carmel is on the James Corden show.
Right.
And he's one of the youngest writers for Late Night. Mm-hmm. And then we have Ron Funches, who's originally from Detroit, but, you know, came through here before he went down to L.A. and has done all of the things. And so I feel like, and Amy Miller, Caitlin Weyerhaeuser, mm-hmm. I feel like that there's like so many people. And we're kind of a supportive environment, and then we also have a lot of supportive venues. Which just shout out to the venues out there that are running bars, because you know running a bar is really hard. I don't mm-hmm. you know like the
yeah.
the profit margins narrow and
non-existent.
You have to, yeah, and you have to really be passionate about your space to be able to do it. And we have really supportive venues that are willing to take chances on new stuff. In fact. I don't know how we're doing on time, but I've got a show on that's starting at the Kickstand Comedy Space, which mm-hmm. is a new comedy space that's taking over the Brody Comedy Space, and it's on Broadway and Burnside in downtown. It's going to be the second Saturday of every month. It's going to be called Outlandish, and it's a late night talk show format. So I'm going to be bringing musicians and comedians and politicians and everybody else into the Kickstand Comedy Space, and we're going to be doing a gay disco theme.
Sounds like so much fun.
It's going to be great. And then I'm working with Jen Robertson, who's a DJ in town, who's done everything from Winter Pride Fest to Mount Bachelor to her own flock parties all around the city. And so she's going to be my like Egg McMahon. So
very cool.
Yeah.
So we are talking to Belinda Carroll. She is a comedian and activist and the founder of the Portland Queer Comedy Festival coming up in July mm-hmm. 18th through the 21st.
17th through the 21st.
17th.
Now.
Oh, that's right. just got those dates done. I wanted to touch on just quickly, you know, I know that comedy is a really difficult profession for women. It has been, and it kind of still remains so, although with time it's getting better. Is that why there was a need for this festival or something that you felt strongly about? Because is it more difficult for people of the LGBTQ community to get into or to be booked or be involved in?
Yeah, and this is the thing is that for us, we're in a magic time with comedy because now people are looking for diverse voices, which has never happened. And so now we have a situation where we can bring all these voices in because there are more people that are out and willing to talk about it. And not because it's necessarily easier, just because it's we see the need of people to have a voice. And so for me as a comedian and also as a person that has been out as a queer person for 20 some odd years, there is a huge belief in the entertainment community that LGBTQ people are unable to do the job as well as straight people. And so
they have limited appeal.
They have limited appeal, right. That there's no diversity within. There's a queer comic stereotype that's the queer comic, and then that's it. And what you see with the festival is you see the literal rainbow. You see literally the diversity within what we call queer comedy or queer people doing comedy. And that's really the point, is that everybody is a queer comic because queer comics are everybody. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, yeah. It totally makes sense. So quickly, I want to find out, who are you most looking forward to seeing at the Portland Queer Comedy Festival?
Oh God, so many people. Jen Kober, actually. I love Jen. I think she's the funniest. And so I'm really excited about that. But I'm really excited about Scott Thompson. So yeah.
Portland Queer Comedy Festival is happening July 17th through the 21st. And by the way, tickets are very affordable. Go ahead and give us the website where we can get tickets and tell us the ticket prices.
Again. Okay. It's PortlandQueerComedyFestival.com. 4-day pass is $65. We have VIP. We have special prices for Scott. We have special prices for youth. We also have individual day passes. So there's a ticket option for you. So check it out. Everybody goes to it. It's not, the audience isn't all queer. It's just the performers that are all queer.
It doesn't matter. They're all funny.
Yeah.
That's what's important. Belinda, thank you so much for being on the KBOO News tonight. We really, really appreciate you being here. And we'll look forward to coming out to the Portland Queer Comedy Festival again, July 17th through the 21st.
Thank you.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we do encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Joe Meyer and Jonelle. The producer is Tammy Habteus. Special thanks to Belinda Carroll. And our engineer is Sam Bowman. The interim KBOO Evening News Director is Lisa Loving. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/